All right, let's get it on. I'm Mike Boyle, and this is The Restaurant Show. Welcome to a special hour of The Restaurant Show. You know what? We've started something on my website called Overtime, where we have an opportunity to talk with somebody on an extended basis. And that way you get to know them, you get to know their history, you get to know their establishment. And today, I'm blessed because I've got Carmen Morales in studio with me. She's the mama. She's the heifer. She's the one that started Santiago's. And if there's anybody out there listening anywhere up and down the Front Range that has not had a Santiago's burrito, I have not met that person yet. And so anyway, we're going to take you through the success of this establishment. It's a great, great story. She's a Colorado girl. We're going to have you tell you her story. We're going to tell you the story of Santiago's, and we're going to tell you how involved they are in their communities and charities. So let's, without further ado, let's go ahead and introduce her. Carmen, thanks for coming in today. Thanks for doing this special hour of The Restaurant Show.
Thank you so very much for the invite.
It's my pleasure, and I want to send a shout out. You know what? I've been eating Santiago burritos. I remember I've lived in Castle Rock even longer than Santiago's has been in Castle Rock. And anyway, but I wasn't sure. I see them popping up all over the place. You're up to 29. Number 30 is coming down the pike. And I said, you know, I'm not sure who to call. I'm not sure who to ask. And I was having breakfast with Sean Early and Scott Perlmutter from Pepsi. And they said, have you ever had Carmen Morales on? No, but I'd love to. They said, we'll make it happen. And here you are. Thanks for coming in.
You bet.
Thanks for driving down from Brighton.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
All right. So let's do this. We have a short segment to start, and then they get a little bit longer as we go. But you are from Colorado. Take the listeners through your background a little bit.
Correct. I was born in Brighton, Colorado, and that's where I opened my first restaurant.
Okay.
And I come from a family of 10. There were 7 brothers and 3 girls. So needless to say, being a woman,
I'll bet you those girls got pretty pampered by it. I've got one daughter, and I'll tell you what, she's got me right here. She's got me wrapped around her little finger.
Well, I always tell people it's a miracle I learned to walk, because all my brothers would carry me, and I mean, yeah, it was quite the life. But
you actually, and we're coming up on a quick break, but tell the story very quickly. You're a miracle baby.
That's what I always say. My mother had 6 boys and no girls, so her patron saint was Saint Jude. So she gets the saint, and she was pregnant, and so she said, I will not let you out of this safe place, as she put him, until I have a girl. And
you were next.
I was born. So I always tell everybody, that's why I'm the miracle baby.
That's a great story. And the folks at St. Jude's do a wonderful job, and I know that you are very involved in charities, and we're going to get into that. All right, so that sets the tone for this special hour of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. Her name is Carmen Morales. She's out of Brighton, Colorado, and she's the one behind the Santiago burritos, and they've got a whole lot more than that, and we'll talk about it here as we go forward with this podcast. I'm Mike Boyle.
Let's move on here on this
special hour of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. I have got Carmen Morales, and we're going to air this all up and down the Front Range, because there's people in Pueblo, Colorado Springs. They're driving north. They're going to the Broncos. They're going to the Rockies, and they're stopping off, and they're getting a Santiago burrito. There's folks coming that are listening from Fort Collins and up in the Brighton area and down into Denver Metro. So I'm glad that you came in and we were able to introduce you to the listeners, Carmen. So anyway, you said that it took you a while to learn to walk because your brothers would carry you everywhere, right? You
know, spoiled.
You know what? I only had one, we're off on track a little bit here, but I've got a couple wonderful nephews that have children, and smaller children, younger children, and you know what they do? They carry their children. And, you know, you look around now and you see these people that have these Mercedes-Benz of strollers, and it's got for the water and the coffee and all of that type of stuff. I'm a big believer that that helps bond you. Do you? It's a little bit weird of a conversation for restaurants, but...
No, but that's very, very true. I believe that my family... we're very, very united growing up, you know, and extended family. And so about 10 years ago, I had a family reunion. We had over 850 people attend, and all of Santiago's owners cooked for it. It was amazing. And so there was a TV station there, and they said, "This is not a reunion. This is a whole community."
Yeah.
But that's how we were. We were that united. And I think that... that's important, that bonding, that holding, and having someone close to you really, really means a lot.
I agree with you 100%. All right, so you talked about all of the Santiago owners were there. Let's go back to the beginning. Where does, you know what, I'm almost kind of reminded of Bobby and Arlene Padilla down at Arlene's Beans and Monument. She used to make burritos for all the high school football games and basketball games, and all of a sudden somebody says, "You ought to open a restaurant." We've never heard those words before. So she opens one in Palmer Lake, outgrows it in a heartbeat, and now she has Arlene's Beans and Monument doing very, very well. So is that what happened? You were making burritos, or these are your mama's recipes or your grandma's chili recipe, and somebody said you ought to open up a restaurant. How does this whole thing get started 33 years ago?
What happened is that one of my older brothers did construction modular homes. He had a heart attack. So he was no longer to do that heavy lifting and moving. So then me and my sister decided to help him open up a restaurant so he'd have a way of living. And that's the family unity, the bond that I talk about. And so I was working for the State of Colorado Alcohol and Drug Abuse Division, and I couldn't drive to Greeley to help him. That's where he opened up his restaurant. So then I told him, yeah, just stay with it. Let's just forget it. And then while I was working, I have a lot of family and friends, and they appeared that they couldn't hold down a job. So I said, you know what? I'm a motivator. So if I open up a restaurant, I bet they'll work for me. And that's how it started. It was a way to help others. And in the community, very active in the community. I was a dance instructor for 20 years. I studied in Mexico, Ballet Folklorico. And we would cook for funerals in the community for families that had someone that passed away. And we cooked in large quantities. So then... that's how I got started with the first restaurant in Brighton while I was still working my full-time job. I opened this. I have a lot of energy.
I'll bet you do. All right. And so, and I also think that that's very much of a Latin culture. You know, where, and we've got a number of restaurant groups in Colorado where maybe the mom and pop started them, and then one of the sons went off and had one of the daughters went off, somebody married, and an in-law opened up a restaurant. You know what I'm talking about. And that's how they expand, because they seem to have a pretty good labor pool.
Correct, yeah. It was, Brighton was the first one. And then my three daughters got involved. One worked at a bank. The other one was studying electrical engineering. And the youngest one. And so I told him, you know, if you want, why don't you just have a restaurant? Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, all three had them. And they're with me on my board. And we all work together.
Well, and I also think that, you know, God bless people that work in social services like you did. God bless people that work in the bank. God bless anybody that has a job and is a productive member of society. But I also think that you have to have a mentality, a personality, because I tell people we can disagree on the preparation of this dish, the preparation of that sauce, but I will never from this restaurant show send you anywhere where I don't think they appreciate your business. And I've never walked into a Santiago's where they didn't just say, "Hi, how are you? Nice to see you. We're glad you're here. What can we get for you?" Because you know what? People get a lot of clutter. They get a lot of news all day, 24/7. It's politics and potholes and brown clouds and whatever it happens to be. So when they walk into one of your places, you want them to be able to relax and enjoy themselves. And I think that that comes from the top. That starts with you and then filters down to the others. Do you agree with that idea?
Definitely. I've always been very friendly, and I talk to everyone. And I think that the restaurant in Brighton, the customers know I go out there, I sit with them at the table, we talk and and gossip and do whatever else we want. But yeah, it's very, very community oriented.
When there was an article that appeared about the shows in the paper a number of years ago, and I had invited my ex-wife to this ceremony, she and her husband. I have one of those exes. We get along very well. And she said for the writer of this article, she said, "It doesn't surprise me. He'll talk to anybody." And so, and you're pointing at yourself. Her name is Carmen Morales, and she is the lady behind Santiago's. And we're going to get into a little bit more of that when we come back on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show.
We're talking about Santiago's, and I've got Carmen Morales, and she's the lady behind it. She's the brains behind it,
and she had a brother that got hurt, couldn't do construction anymore, so she and her sister said, "Why don't we open a restaurant and you can run it for us?" Did you ever have any idea, Carmen, that it would grow to the size that it is? You're about to open your 30th restaurant coming here soon. And I mean, what was the long range plan? Was it just to provide a job for your brother? Did you have any intention of quitting the social services department that you were working for? How did this become this? It went from being a rowboat to a battleship. How did this happen?
Well, I think that a lot of it was wanting to help others. You know, that's part of our culture. I remember my mother, when one of the neighbors was sick, she'd cook enough food and say, "Go take it to her." We always did that.
You know what? We do these events where I appear at restaurants, offer a meal deal, and we get hundreds of people. And you'd be amazed by offering a nice special price for those few hours, how many people will buy some food and take it to a neighbor that's shut in or somebody that's infirm. And when people say they want, I've told my daughter this, and I'll bet you've probably told your family. You know, people say, "I want my kids to be happy." I say, "I want my daughter and her husband to be productively happy. This place, this world should be better because we pass through it." Don't you agree?
Oh, definitely. And I think that's why Santiago's Mexican Restaurants, we are involved in our communities, and we believe in giving back. And so we started our own charities because we have the contacts. We have our customers that we see all the time.
Every store has a big sign about how much you've contributed, and the number just kind of keeps, it's kind of like the national debt on a positive note. It just keeps going up and up and up and up and up.
Right. It's been like $3 million that we've raised since we started our charity, and it goes back to family. Mm-hmm. And taking care of family. My granddaughter was born deaf. Mm-hmm. And so she had cochlear implants. She's an amazing child, but she's going to the university now, and she's an athlete and plays basketball for the university. And so our first place that we donated was to the school for the deaf.
Okay.
And so that got the ball rolling, and then we just didn't stop. And what we did is that my daughters really make sure that the nonprofit that we donate to is local, and only 10% will go to administrative costs. 90% has to go to the actual charity. Mm-hmm. So we filter all that out and make sure the money is getting to those children.
There's an old saying, Carmen, that anybody can write a check. It's what happens with that money. And so, you know, I've had some lengthy conversations with some nice benefactors over the years, and they've said the same thing. I would rather hand this to somebody. I'd rather help this. You know, having my name on a building isn't as important as who it helps and where it goes to.
Oh, yeah. That is so true. And the organizations go to our annual golf tournament. That's where we wrap it up. Mm-hmm. Our customers buy candy bars that we donate. All of that goes to the charity. And they round up and they donate money. They play golf. Our golf tournament is filled within the first 2 days that we open it. It's such an amazing tournament. And so I think the things that we have done for these nonprofits is amazing, and for the children of the community. I think it's really important. They're our future, and mm-hmm. we can't leave them behind.
You know, you hear some horrible stories about the administrative fees on some of these. I happen to be a veteran. I happen to support TAPS, Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. The administration fee, if they can keep it low, it's amazing what they can do. All right, so people are out there wondering, when is he going to ask the question? Why is it Santiago's and why is it not Carmen's?
Because, you know, I think a lot about myself.
I think Carmen's burrito sounds okay.
I'm a bossy woman, but Santiago's translate to St. James.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I said, I need a miracle. If I'm going to start a business, I need a miracle. So I named it after a saint.
Okay. All right. I understand. So you've got one, and it's doing well. Take the listeners through the progression. Does another sister say, I'd like to have one? Do you franchise? If John Q. Public called up and said, I'd like to have a restaurant and I'll write you a check, and I want it to be in Oklahoma City, I want it to be in Des Moines, where you're not going to be able to give much marketing support because your restaurants are grouped here along, let's call it Front Range.
Correct.
I guess I asked you a couple questions.
Yeah. Evan. And I shall answer them. And what happened is that my oldest daughter, we got her started and then opened up another one in, that one was in Lafayette, and then we opened another one in Thornton. And then, so it was all family at mm-hmm. this point. Mm-hmm. And kidding, people tell me, why is it all family? I said, so they work for their money and they don't borrow money from me. No, but that's not why. That's not the reason. But anyway, so then they get on board. And then I had some really, really amazing, dedicated employees.
Yeah, it's kind of, since you talk about St. Jude and St. James.
Right.
You know, you can give a man a fish or you can teach him to fish.
Right. So that's what I did. Mm-hmm. So to ensure my retirement, I had to come up with a plan because I wasn't into 401ks or anything. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I don't want to live off Social Security. So what I did from working at the Adams County District Attorney's Office, I learned some legal jargon. So I set up a contract, and I had a licensor and a licensee. So what I did is I gave these employees an opportunity to have a Santiago's, and then they would pay me a licensee fee every month for the name and for the recipes.
Okay.
And then I continued to grow. And okay. It's been pretty much my employees and family.
So, and have you invested some longtime employees with ownership?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. So, in other words, when you get this license check, my guess is that you get more checks the more stores you have.
Right.
Nothing wrong with it. I'm a capitalist.
Well, you know, and that was just a way of ensuring my retirement.
Yeah. All right. I get the feeling that you're probably not somebody that I talk to a lot of older people, a lot of retired people, and they're bored. You know, they thought they'd work their 40 years, get a watch, they'd have the 401, they'd have Social Security. I get the feeling that I know I speak for myself. I'm probably going to be working the day I die, and I love what I do. And I have you're nodding. I get a feeling that that might be Carmen Morales.
I know. When they tell you rest in peace, that's when you're dead. So that's, I'll probably work till then too. I just have all this energy. And if I was not running the restaurants, I know I'd start another business, even at this age, mm-hmm. because I just can't sit still. And God has given you a talent. I tell my grandchildren, the day that you die and you look before, you're standing before God and you can look him in his eye and tell him, Lord, I used all the talents you gave me.
How involved are you in the day-to-day?
Very. I have an office in Fort Lapton. I go to the office every day. I'm making phone calls. We're making flyers. We're making rules and having the owners' meetings. And yeah, very busy.
Showing up for media, the restaurant show?
Yes.
I'm glad you're here. All right. So when Carmen Morales wanders into a store and it's 1:30 in the afternoon, because I've found that with my history in the restaurant business and a lot of people, you wind up, you eat a lot of meals standing up, and you also eat a lot of meals at about 1:30, 1:45, 2 o'clock after the rush. What's your go-to? What's the meal that you know, you can look at the menu, and you've got an extensive menu, and I want to share that with listeners, but there's a lot of this and a lot of that, but I'm going with that.
You know what? I pretty much like it all. That's why I made the menu. But
yeah, but you know what? When I go to a restaurant and I tell my listeners, interact with a server. If say, I've never been here, can you give me a couple hints? If they say everything's good, I say, yeah, I know everything's good, but I can't eat everything. Can you narrow it down to maybe a meat, a chicken, and a seafood, or a burrito, a taco? So I know everything's good, Carmen.
Well, I really enjoy the pork chop dinner. Two pork chops, really? Rice, beans, green chili, and potatoes cut in round pieces and deep fried, and two flour tortillas. But that's a lot of food, but that I really do like that. And I love our stuffed sopapillas, where we roll out the dough, and you could have two ingredients in there. So let's say I want beef and bean, and we roll it, and we deep fry it, and we smother it with the chili, cheese, lettuce, and tomatoes. That is amazing. So there's pretty much whatever I want to eat I like.
You know what? Pork chops. A friend of mine had a number of Waffle House restaurants, and he told me that pork chops nationwide are the biggest seller for Waffle House. And I think a lot of that is that people don't think about having that at their house. And if they can go out and get it, I think that, you know what? I got some news for you, Carmen. It's not going to be too long before I stop by a Santiago's in Castle Rock and have pork chops. Because I love pork chops.
Yeah.
And I might even put some of that green chili on as well. We've got to take a break. And when we come back, there's a story behind that green chili. And if you wouldn't mind sharing it for all, I'm not asking you to share the recipe, but I know you'd have to kill me. But let's talk about where that recipe comes from when we come back, okay?
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a quick blow and get a drink of water, and we'll be right back with Carmen Morales of Santiago's.
Let's find out about Santiago's famous green chili.
And you know what? It's one of those deals, folks. Well, Carmen, why don't you talk about where your green chili comes from and whether or not, I used to love it when people say, is your green chili hot? And I say, yeah, it's hot. It's supposed to be hot, but it's not supposed to wreck your day either. So talk a little bit about your green chili. I got a feeling that the abuela may have come up with that.
It's my mother's recipe when we were little. She saved the lids from the old wood stoves. And so we put it on the gas stove and we'd roast the jalapenos on there.
Uh-huh.
And then we had to peel them and then she would freeze them. So my father had chili all winter. Otherwise, if he didn't have chili, it was not a meal.
Okay.
So that was mandatory in our household. So then a lot of people can't eat hot chilies, so we decided three. So we'd have the mild, the half and half, and the hot.
Yeah.
So this way you could pick your poison, so to speak.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I feel like if I order mild, my man card may be revoked. But if I order the hot, like I said, it may wreck my afternoon. So I go with the half and half. I like a little bite. I like a little spice, but I want to be able to taste the meals. Talking about the chili, let's talk about your menu. You've got a surprisingly, I'd be willing to bet you, and I follow all of the local Colorado media publications, and it doesn't matter whether it's Arvada, the Highlands Ranch Herald, when they issue it, Santiago's always is listed for best burrito, best breakfast burrito. I'd be willing to bet you that if you stopped an awful lot of people and said, what is Santiago's known for, it would be the breakfast burrito, wouldn't it?
Probably, because I don't think people made breakfast burritos 33 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the way that came about, that's another family thing, is that during Lent...
I agree with that. I think breakfast burritos are a more recent phenomenon, and but you were right there on the early edge when breakfast became a real go-to.
Staple.
Yeah, your mother said eat a good breakfast. Right. I understand that. But still, now everybody's serving breakfast.
Right. And what happened with us is that during Lent, in those days, you could not take the communion if you ate. So my mother, on our way to school, we had to go to church during Lent, and she'd make a breakfast burrito.
You know that in Ireland, on St. Patrick's Day, they waived that?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But that was the culture,
you
know.
You can eat and drink.
And so then we take a breakfast burrito. Uh-huh. And so when we opened up the first restaurant, we said breakfast burritos would be the bomb.
Uh-huh.
And they were, you know, and I think that adding other things, this way you have people that come in for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner, because we provide all of that. And then when the customers would come in, I was there and I explained to them, hey, you taste the hot chili first. I gave them a little sample.
Sure.
Because I want them to enjoy our food. Yeah. And that's what we did. And then when they would ask for like an Indian taco, I want 4 Indian tacos. I said, no, you don't. The Indian taco is an entire flour tortilla that's deep fried, and we smother it with beans and beef and chili and cheese, lettuce, and tomato. You can only eat one of those Indian tacos. And just assuming that they were the small tacos.
Sure.
But
that's street tacos.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And
And you know what? I've gone to Mexico. I'm a SoCal. I've gone to Mexico all my life. I've got the pictures of me at 4 years old sitting on a donkey in Tijuana. Right. You know what I mean?
The
parents
picture,
took
yes.
it out. You bet. You've seen the picture. But I love Mexico. And my daughter is fluent in Spanish. She has a company called Gusto Mexico, soft adventure cultural immersion trips. And I take groups of listeners, as I've told you. But having spent a lot of time, a lot of people don't understand that tacos and burritos are a Mexican breakfast staple, and eggs and chorizo and whatever it happens to be. And so I think it's only natural, and, you know, people talk about, and I'd like you to talk about traditional versus authentic, but the border recipes with the internet and cookbooks and all of that type of stuff. You know, when somebody says to me, I want an authentic Mexican chimichanga, I say, well, you know what? You're going to have trouble finding a chimichanga in Mexico. So I'm not sure. Maybe that's more traditional. Do you use the terms authentic and traditional at Santiago's?
No. We just say authentic. Okay. Mexican restaurant. And our recipes are from New Mexico. My family was from New Mexico.
Right.
And the green chili's from New Mexico. And we have a
I'm going to go look up that town you're from. It's by Las Vegas, which is right on I-25. And if you've never been to Las Vegas, let me tell you something. I know you've been to that Las Vegas, but go to this Las Vegas. Stay at the beautiful historic Plaza Hotel. They've got some nice downtown restaurants in Las Vegas, New Mexico. I got off track. I'm sorry,
yes.
Carmen.
And so
I can ramble.
The green chili is my mother's recipe, and that's what they made, is the green chili. And sometimes people don't understand the difference between chili and salsa.
Yeah.
And there's a difference, you know. And so, but we have a lot of Mexicans that go to the restaurant and they order that hot green chili. They love it. So, you know, it's just like a thing of learning different cultures, and that's what it is. Because even when you go to Mexico, you have different towns that serve enchiladas differently.
Well,
each of them have their own.
You have the 7 regions of Mexican cuisine.
Right,
you
exactly.
The flavors of the Yucatan are much different than Oaxaca.
Exactly, because you have a lot of Indian, you have a lot of the different, you know, Spanish culture there too, so you got a variety of everything.
All right, so when you're not eating pork chops, what are you eating, Carmen?
A bean and chicharron with a splash of mild and just a little run through of the half and half.
Do you ever get tired of your menu? I mean, you've been eating this stuff all your life. You've been eating it at your restaurant for 33 years. Do you ever go in and say, "Surprise me"? I used to do that every once in a while with my kitchen manager. I say, you know what? And I had good food. I say, surprise me. Do you ever do that?
No, because I still go in the kitchen and I prepare in the restaurant. And I still
fix my own lunch.
Yeah. So whatever I want, I grab a little bit of this and I make my own.
Okay. All right. And what might that be?
Oh, I like to do like the chips that we make fresh, and then I'll do some of the red enchilada and put some beef on it and melt the cheese, and that's a delicious dip. It's amazing.
There is a dish that's become very popular, and I don't know really the history of it, but it's called birria, B-I-R-R-I-A.
And birria.
Bivia.
Yes.
It's a shredded beef, as you know, in a corn tortilla that's flattened over, deep fried, and served almost like a pita pocket. And to be honest with you, I haven't looked. Do the Santiago's offer those? Okay. And,
no.
And is there any reason? Or is that another menu? Your menu is big, Clark.
Yeah. No, because we kind of stuck to, like, the food that I had at home, the food that my mother would make, you know, the mm-hmm. Spanish rice, that's okay. what we call it, you know, mm-hmm. And the beans and the green chili, and kind of just added, like, chicken and rice to make a burrito and pork to make bean and carnita burritos. So, yeah, so it was pretty much what we had growing up.
A couple quick questions, and I wanted to get into expansion, but before I do, talk about your beans. I am a big, matter of fact, a lot of times when I'll do a show at a Mexican restaurant and we'll be busy, I'll say, I'd like 2 flour tortillas, beans, rice, and pico de gallo. And the guys in the kitchen will go, is one of our brothers out here or something? Because it's really an inexpensive meal and it's a go-to. But talk about your beans. I just believe that the beans should be mashed.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And even a little bit of lard put in there. And so,
yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yep. And the beans, you know, we get and we clean them and we wash them. And then we put them in a 60-quart pan and let them cook overnight. So in the morning, they're fresh as can be. And then they're mashed.
They should be darn near creamy. Don't you agree?
Well, that's what we do. Yeah. You take out some of the bean juice and then you mash it to get that consistency of the creamy beans.
And I love pico de gallo. You know, if you told me I was going to be stranded on a desert island with flour tortillas and pico de gallo, I'd say I don't care to ever be rescued, you know? All right, so this show is going all up and down the Front Range, and I think that a success story like yours is fun because everybody listening at some point has said, I wonder if I could run a restaurant, or I think I'd like to have a restaurant, or my husband makes good green chili, maybe we should open a restaurant, or my wife bakes good cupcakes, maybe we should open up a bakery. Are you looking to expand? Are you looking to expand in Colorado? Castle Rock is as far south as you go, and yet I know the people in El Paso County are very familiar with your products because they talk to them down there, and I don't want you to be bombarded with real estate agents calling with locations, but I also don't want to stop you from thinking about expanding into that area. And Pueblo.
So I do believe we are going to expand, and it's pretty much on my daughter's lap. But I think that the thing is that it has to be controlled because we want it to be the same.
No question.
The consistency has to be the same.
No question.
The friendliness, the community. So you really have to be careful when you do a franchise because you just don't want to throw it out to everybody.
Well,
you need people that are dedicated.
Well, and when somebody gets used to the Bloomin' Onion in Colorado, when they go to Rochester, Minnesota, they want that same Bloomin' Onion at the Outback. And that's one of the things that works for Chick-fil-A and McDonald's and the franchise groups that have really proliferated. So the good news is you're looking, and it sounds like if somebody comes along that you think could handle it and they've got the money, you're working every day anyway. You might as well talk to them.
Exactly.
My dad used to say, Carmen, that if somebody's knocking on your door, trying to give you money, open the door.
Right.
All right. We're going to take a little blow. We're going to have a sip of water, and we're going to come back and wrap it up with Carmen Morales of the Santiago Restaurants.
We're going to wrap up this hour with Carmen Morales. She is the lady that started Santiago's.
And, you know, I'll bet you since you started over 30 years ago,
And since you started right near Brighton High School, where you grew up, that area, I'd be willing to bet you that those high school kids maybe introduced their parents, maybe went off to college, brought their college buddies home, introduced them to Santiago's. I'd be willing to bet you that you're probably well into second generation, maybe even third generation in some cases of customers.
Oh, yeah. When I see these kids now that, well, they're no longer kids, they're adults and they have their own kids, and they're bringing their kids to Santiago's, I told my, you know what, when you were a baby, your mom used to put the mild chili in your baby bottle. But the kids would go from
got
the high school.
Got you addicted at a young age.
Yeah. And so the kids, high school students, would go to the restaurant, and they'd get their lunch. And then I'd see them in the evening with their parents for supper. So the kids, I think, are the ones that started this avalanche of Santiago's, and it hasn't stopped. They're still coming during lunch. And then they would have me call their teacher. Carmen, could you call my teacher because I'm going back late to school? I go, really? You want me to call your teacher because you're late? Well, yeah, the line was long. I said, okay, I'll call him, see if it does any good.
All right, so did you ever have any instances of some of these Brighton kids that were raised on Santiago's, and they knew better than to get the hot? They knew to go with either the half and half or the mild. Did they ever go? Because when we went up to college, what did we do? We went home for some breaks with other college kids, or they came to our house, and of course mom was always willing to entertain. Did you ever have any of them show up and say, I'll just take care of your order, I know what's on the menu, I'll order for you, and maybe pull a little bit of a prank on some of them with the chili?
Oh yeah, I had some of the college students that came back, and I walked by the table and I'd see one of the kids, college students, over there sweating and red as a beet. And I look at my little friend and I said, you didn't. He goes, yeah, I did. I said, you guys are so terrible. You ordered the hot for him and you didn't even tell him how hot it was. And they were just laughing and having a fine old time. And my cousin worked construction. And so he'd call the restaurant and order a dozen burritos to take to work. And he'd say, and make one extra hot, but don't mark them. And I caught him doing that, and I told him, you do not play Russian roulette with my burritos. He goes, it's funny because you sit there and you see all the workers eating, and you know
who got
the hot.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so I would like to wrap up by coming back to your civic community charity involvement. One of the things that I tell people, for example, if you go enter a walk or a run or a cycling event, generally there's a charitable component. So you're doing something nice for yourself, doing something good for yourself, but you're doing something good for others. Now, maybe your $50 entry fee doesn't all go to the charity, but you're doing something good and you're doing something nice for yourself. And I think that there's a lot of cases where you can go out and eat and know that your meal isn't, the cost isn't increased to you, but that restaurant is doing something charitable. Let's just wrap up on that nice positive note with Santiago's.
Yeah, last year we did the Home Builders Association, and it was for children that were disabled to go into the homes and remodel them and make them handicapped accessible. For children that, you know, don't want their mothers to be bathing them, so they can make the shower so they have some privacy.
Yeah.
This year we're doing the Anchor, and that's an organization to help blind children. Mm-hmm. So that's who we will be raising funds for. And last year we raised almost $500,000. And by we, I'm talking our customers, our vendors.
It's a community,
you know,
effort.
It is. It really is.
Effort.
Yes. And Santiago's, all the locations donate to their local schools, and we help out whatever ways we can. I've paid for people's funerals that cannot afford it. Mm-hmm. Thanks to God, I have that money. I could do that. Mm-hmm. And we try to help, I mean, in any ways means possible. We give to the food bank there at Brighton. Our vendor delivers beans, rice, and flour every week. And so we have all of that going on. And we want to give back to our communities because that's who we are. We're from the community.
Well, and I was a scout, a Boy Scout. I I'm an Eagle Scout, and one of the things that scouting teaches you is that you should always leave the campground a little cleaner than you found it. And that's obviously a metaphor for life. And you don't have to be a scout to adopt that motto. You can be involved with Santiago's, you can be involved in the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show, but there's an awful lot of things that you can do to help better the community. And whether it's through your church, whether it's through a charity, whether it's through an organization, maybe where you work, but I think that if you can find restaurants that are very civic, I think that they deserve just a little extra measure of support. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so very much.
All right. Gosh, it was great to know you. I'm going to go have some of those pork chops. you hooked me, didn't you? All right. That wraps up this special hour of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show with Carmen Morales from Santiago's.